A wife stands at her kitchen counter, tears streaming down her face as her husband scrolls through his phone, oblivious. She's not crying about the dishes or the bills or even his late nights at work. She's crying because she feels invisible. Across town, a husband lies awake, his wife's back turned toward him, the space between them on the bed feeling like an ocean. He wants to reach out, but doesn't know how. These scenes play out in millions of homes every night, even among couples who once couldn't keep their hands off each other, even in marriages rooted in faith and commitment. Here's the startling truth. Nearly half of all marriages fail, and Christian couples divorce at virtually the same rate as everyone else. Despite countless marriage seminars, relationship books, and well-meaning advice, something fundamental is being missed. The answer isn't about better communication techniques or learning to fight fair. It's about something far more primal, our desperate, hardwired need for secure emotional connection. When that connection breaks, everything else crumbles. When it's strong, couples don't just survive, they flourish. We've all heard love described as a beautiful mystery, an inexplicable force that brings two souls together. But attachment science reveals something more profound. Love isn't just an emotion or a choice, it's our most powerful survival mechanism, coded into our biology as deeply as hunger or thirst. British psychiatrist John Bowlby revolutionized our understanding by observing children separated from their parents, discovering that their distress wasn't weakness, but a survival response. His work eventually transformed child rearing worldwide, but here's what changes everything for adult relationships. This attachment need doesn't disappear when we grow up. Throughout our entire lives, we're wired to seek close connection with someone who becomes our safe haven, a person whose presence calms our nervous system and whose absence triggers primal panic. Research confirms our need for connection. Emotional isolation doubles heart attack and stroke risk. Holding your partner's hand reduces pain and stress responses in your brain. People in secure relationships understand themselves better and explore life more boldly, not despite their connection, but because of it. Love isn't life's icing, it's oxygen. Genesis 2:18 declares, "It is not good for man to be alone." Science now confirms what scripture always knew. Couples in distress typically blame money, parenting, or sex. Therapists often focus on communication skills, but these are symptoms, not causes. The real problem is emotional disconnection. Most fights are protests against this disconnection, desperate attempts to answer terrifying questions. Can I count on you? Are you there for me? Do I matter to you? When our partner becomes emotionally unavailable, our brain's amygdala triggers the same fear response as physical danger. The most destructive pattern, the protest polka, occurs when one partner becomes critical and demanding while the other grows defensive and distant. Couples stuck in this pattern early in marriage have over an 80% chance of divorcing within 5 years. Consider Carol and Jim fighting about his chronic lateness. Carol attacks, "You're always late, you don't care." Jim defends, "I got stuck in traffic, why are you overreacting?" But the fight isn't about punctuality. Carol's desperate question is, "Am I important to you?" Jim's unspoken fear is, "Am I ever good enough?" They're both reaching for connection through the only language their fear allows, completely missing each other's attachment cries. The first conversations focus on de-escalating negative cycles by identifying demon dialogues, the destructive patterns that hijack connection. Three patterns emerge: find the bad guy, mutual blame, the protest polka, one pursues while the other withdraws, and freeze and flee, mutual emotional death. The key insight? The cycle itself is the enemy, not your partner. In the protest polka, distancing partners feel hopeless and numb, shutting down into problem-solving mode. Pursuing partners feel invisible and abandoned. Gender often influences these roles. Women typically pursue emotional connection, while men, taught to suppress feelings, offer logical solutions instead. Jesus demonstrated perfect emotional responsiveness when the woman with the issue of blood touched his cloak. He stopped, turned, and engaged fully. Understanding raw spots, hypersensitivities formed when attachment needs have been repeatedly neglected, becomes crucial. Two signs reveal when a raw spot gets hit: a sudden radical shift in emotional tone and a reaction disproportionate to the offense. These reactions bypass rational thought because primal attachment fears suddenly activate. Couples learn to shift from antagonistic I versus you language to collaborative we against the problem language, expressing authentic emotions rather than blame and revealing attachment fears to each other. This creates renewed partnership where couples face insecurities as allies rather than adversaries. Lasting love rests on three profound questions forming the acronym ARE. Are you accessible? Are you responsive? Are you engaged? Accessibility means staying emotionally open even when vulnerable. Responsiveness involves showing your partner they matter by engaging with their emotional signals, not just surface content. Engagement refers to the special attention and presence we give only to those we love most. Sarah and Tim exemplify this crisis. Tim thinks their marriage is fine. They pay bills, raise kids, attend church. When Sarah accuses him of ignoring her at a party, he dismisses it as immaturity. Through tears, she confesses hiding their failing marriage from Bible study, telling Tim he's become a stone who turns away while she's dying inside. Tim fails all three ARE dimensions. The hold me tight conversation represents the tipping point from managing conflict to creating connection. Charlie and Kyoko struggled with rigid gender roles until Charlie confessed his deepest fear: staying present with Kyoko's emotions would shatter him. This vulnerability brought relief rather than destruction. When Kyoko asked Charlie to physically comfort her, he was stunned. "You mean you just want me to come close?" During such moments, our brains release oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, reducing stress hormones. Love isn't just psychological, it's physiological. Some relationship incidents aren't disagreements. They're profound traumas that shatter security. When partners fail to provide support during critical moments, like births, deaths, illnesses, or job losses, they create devastating never-again moments where the injured partner refuses to risk vulnerability again. True forgiveness requires specific elements: showing genuine care about your partner's pain, validating their hurt, owning exactly what you did wrong, expressing shame about the behavior, and reassuring them you'll help heal the wound. This apology invites reconnection through a hold-me-tight conversation where the hurt partner identifies and directly asks for current needs. While passion comes naturally early on, secure bonding and fulfilling sexuality enhance each other beautifully. When partners feel emotionally safe, sex becomes intimate play where they surrender to sensation and share deepest vulnerabilities. Research reveals satisfied couples attribute only 15 to 20% of happiness to good sex, while unhappy partners blame 50 to 70% of distress on sexual problems, because sexual issues signal lost emotional connection, not the reverse. Three sexual experiences emerge: sealed off sex, physical sensation without emotional connection; solace sex, seeking reassurance rather than pleasure; and synchrony sex, integrating emotional openness with erotic exploration. Maintaining love requires couples to identify danger points for negative cycles, develop specific requests to help each other stay balanced, and celebrate small connection moments. Our most basic instinct is connection. For people of faith, connection with God provides comfort and safety. Scripture portrays God as refuge, parent, friend, and lover, reflecting the same bonding elements found in earthly attachments. We're wired with a longing for someone who will respond and keep us safe. We engage with those we depend on in three ways: secure reaching, anxious demanding, and avoidant distancing. These patterns extend to our relationship with God. Some experience secure connection: I know I can reach for him and find peace. Others show anxious connection: I just want to yell, "Are you listening?" Still others dismiss their need: there's no point praying. When lovers form secure bonds, their circle of loving responsiveness expands outward. Research shows children who feel secure demonstrate more empathy, while recalling times when someone cared for you reduces hostility toward others. Secure attachment creates better parenting. Even parents with difficult childhoods thrive through loving marriages. Loving families form the foundation of humane society. As we bond intimately with the few, then extend that connection outward. Abstract moral rules rarely inspire us, but personal, emotional connections do. We are fundamentally designed for connection, homo vinculum, the one who bonds. This truth appears in our souls, scripture, and science alike. When we create secure attachments with our partners, we fulfill our deepest purpose as humans created for bonding. As we become emotionally accessible, responsive, and engaged, we create a safe haven reflecting divine love itself. The promise isn't just happier marriages, it's more fully human lives. The question isn't whether you need this connection. You absolutely do. The question is whether you'll have the courage to reach for it. When you do, you'll discover that vulnerability strengthens rather than destroys you, that expressing your deepest needs draws your partner closer, and that the love you've been seeking has been waiting all along, in the brave space between two hearts willing to hold each other tight.